Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tink and Tierney coming in from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Understands it's not just a mortgage, but it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this football Friday around the country. Obviously, a little breaking news. Nick's making a move. David Fizdale is out, so Mike Miller and Pat Sullivan will vie for the interim tag. Just another depressing chapter. You know, one thing I've never done, and I'm not about to do this now, because, number one, I don't think it would work. I'm going to get back to the NFL in a sec, but I don't think this is really effective. They tried to orchestrate this a few times where they've tried to, disenchanted, not just Knick fans, but other fans, where really the only way to change... fundamentally change what's wrong with the franchise is to really stop showing up. You want somebody to react, stop subscribing to the regional network that they're on, stop going to the game, stop, the merchandise. That's how you really get somebody to maybe take stock and although with Dolan, I still don't think it would matter. That's what's crazy. But for most people, to really take a different level of ownership of the situation and really try to recalibrate and just do something so different from what you've done for the last 20 years, which so maddeningly has not worked. So I'm not one of these guys who, and this is more of a local radio thing anyway, where you actually get where you orchestrate, rallies to protest, to go to venues, I'm not going to do that now, but I tell you, I there's a part of me that would really love to see Knick fans really try to do this. All of the energy that the great Knick fans have. The Knick fans are phenomenal. For what they give in versus what they get back is as disproportionate a recipe in the history of sports, actually. And not just New York sports. I mean sport. To just somehow find a way to just have nobody in the arena one night. I know that that's implausible. Because when you're on the 7th Avenue in the middle of Herald Square with hundreds of thousands of people walking around Christmas shopping, oh, what is this? This looks like an interesting arena. Who plays here? The Harlem Globetrotters tonight? They don't even know who's playing. And they get a ticket, and how much? $300, $400, doesn't matter. Okay, sure, I have the money. There's so many people here. There's a lot of wealthy people. Okay, I'll go watch the game. They'll buy food. They'll buy drinks. They'll buy... all the merchandise, and the Knicks will lose 131-109, and they'll be back the next night, 19,000 deep. Rinse, repeat. I'm not local, so I don't have the energy either right now to try to orchestrate this. But man, could somebody somehow try to do this? Because this is the only thing that will resonate for years. It's mind bending. Not only how bad they've been, but how disconnected they have been to great fans. Man, they deserve better. We deserve better. I'm one of them. All right. So, speaking of fans that deserve better, they're getting a little bit this year. I want to get back to that Bills angle that I told you I was going to get to. This will be a lot of fun. The Ravens and the Bills, one of really three or four games you have to watch. Of course, you want to watch the Niners and the Saints. Of course, you're going to be watching the rematch of last year's AFC Championship between the Pats and the Chiefs. And obviously, you want to watch the Ravens and the Bills. And I would even throw Seattle and the Rams there. That's a half a tier below. But, Russell Wilson still in the mix for the MVP. Plus, the Rams are playing better. I believe that's in L.A., too. I think it is. Not that it really matters. They don't have a great home field advantage. But the Rams are playing a little bit better. The 49ers and the Seahawks are both 10-2. So there's theater there. Seattle's going to lose a game soon that they probably shouldn't lose. And this could be the game. But there's a few games you have to zero in on. And I don't think that there's going to be a more revealing game. Revealing game. Not saying theatrical or revealing. Than the Ravens-Bills. Because think about, and the ascension has been very quiet, been underneath the radar. Bills aren't a national team, don't have a national imprint, you know? Although they did get flexed. I think the Steelers game got flexed recently, which is good. You know, they're not on Sunday Night Football, very rarely on Thursday Night Football. You know, maybe throw them a bone once a year. Every team's got to get a national pop, so they get the one, you know. Thanksgiving game they were on this year, so and they played well in front of the entire nation. They fell behind 7-0, and then Josh Allen and the Bills just took the soul out of the Cowboys. You know, it's funny. You talk about the NBA and awards, right? And there's sixth man, and there's most improved. And as much as I love sports, I don't get wrapped up. As much as I think I know about sports, I like who won awards outside of the major awards? Couldn't even tell you. Wouldn't even waste my time. Like most improved, that doesn't register anymore. I'm past that. But the one award, if there was one, and if we were tracking this year, because we don't really talk about improved players in the NFL, we're usually a year behind the curve in the NFL because we focus on, think about how we really frame the NFL season. Which teams have a chance to win the championship? Which teams are vying for the first overall pick? Which of those teams vying for the first overall pick are chasing a quarterback, which obviously opens up a different dialogue and an interesting dialogue with the college quarterbacks, not just this year, but obviously last year with the five in the first round and previous years. I mean, a quarterback, you don't have one, you can't win. So, but we really don't talk about the in-between stuff. It's not as sexy. It's not as fun. Quite frankly, it's not as easy to talk about because you have to really do your homework and you have to really watch. So if I tell you, D-Cell, I'm going to bang it around the room, Mike, jump it as well. If I say to you, Josh Allen is absolutely the most improved player in the NFL right now from a year ago, or even if you want to say from the start of the season, would you disagree? First, would you disagree, yes or no? D-Cell.
I'll give you an argument. I'll disagree.
Okay. I'm going to get back to the name in a second. Mike, of course, this guy's going to disagree. I hope he does. Would you disagree, Mike?
If he's not number one, he's number two or three. He's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a name in my head, which I would be surprised if D-Cell doesn't have the same name.
Okay, who do you got?
Ryan Tannehill. I mean, the difference with Josh Allen is he was on an upward trajectory, and so we knew that the next level of advancement was just going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill was on the scrap heap, and now he's literally probably number three on the MVP conversation.
Now, Mike, hold on one sec. Now, D-Cell, as Mike is, because I want to engage with Mike for a sec. Just fire up Tannehill stats for a moment. Since Tiki's not here, I mean, ordinarily I could do it. Tiki could kind of jump in. Just fire up Tannehill's career stats, Pro Football Reference, please, if you can. So, Mike, you think that, first of all, you think Tannehill right now is top three? No.
Well, no, I mean, I think number one and number two are, like, so far above everybody else.
Lamar and Russell.
I mean, maybe McCaffrey's number three, but they're losing.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, they're 5-1 with Tannehill. We talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I can't think of a really solid number three behind Russell and Lamar. So I'm looking at Tannehill's career stats.
Okay. Go ahead. Now, so, I believe he was one game under 500 right in that name. Before this year, he was, like, I believe he was a game below 500 or a game above with the Dolphins. He was right in the neighborhood, almost a 500 career record.
So with the Dolphins, he was 42-46.
Okay, close. All right, there you go.
So right now, he's officially exactly 500 at 47-47 as a starter.
Okay, doesn't he have around 50 more touchdowns than picks? Maybe that's a little bit off. Maybe
it's about 56.
Okay, so he has 56 more touchdowns than picks. Mm-hmm. All right. This is why I don't think that he has improved as much as you think. What I think is that the narrative about Ryan Tannehill was always a little distorted unfairly. I always thought that Ryan, and I've said this on the show for years, I always thought Ryan Tannehill was a serviceable, decent NFL player. Nobody looked at Ryan. Now, we questioned whether or not he would become a star, obviously, early on with Miami, for sure. Then he ripped up his knee, and it was a little bit different. He's had a couple of coaches in Miami, a couple of different systems and all that stuff, and now he's with Tennessee, obviously. But nobody ever said Ryan Tannehill was terrible. And quite frankly, if they did, they were engaging in hyperbole and they were lazy and they were factually incorrect based on the stats that I just gave you. Because when you have roughly 50 more touchdowns than picks and a quarterback rating, what is it, about 88-ish, something like that, around there?
For his career or?
Oh, career. Just give me career at this point. 90? 88?
I'm going to have to take away what he's done this year because he's up to like 113.
Yeah, but it's only a few games. It's not going to weigh it down too heavy, or it's not going to weigh it up too heavily.
So his career is 88.6. Yeah. Okay. With the Dolphins, it was 87.
Okay, so right on the number, 88. You know what? That's pretty good. Now punch up Josh Allen's stats from a year ago. And as Mike and Diesel are doing that, I want you to think in your head how you frame Josh Allen. Like the conversations you would have about football. Watching with your buddies, maybe on draft night, fantasy football. Not that you would draft Josh Allen last year or even this year. But, you know, you're waiting 7 or 8 picks. You're talking about the NFL. You're talking about the AFCs. Man, Josh Allen, I don't know if the Bills got the right guy. This guy, he doesn't throw the ball straight. He's woefully inaccurate. Now give me his numbers from last year. Go ahead. 56% completion percent. What was his number last year?
So 53%.
53%. What was Ryan Tannehill's first year? 60? 61-ish? Don't even, I know you're jumping
58.
Back.
58.
Okay, 58. But he jumped up to 60 fast.
Yeah.
So 53%. What was his touchdown to pick ratio?
10 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Okay.
Tannehill, his rookie year was 12-13.
What was his second year, though?
24-17.
Okay. And obviously, Josh Allen's on that trajectory now.
16-8 right now.
Correct. So he's actually on a little bit of a better ratio than Ryan Tannehill's second year. Go ahead.
So just like a random. Now, obviously, like his Josh Allen's rushing numbers are a different part of the story as
no
well.
Doubt.
I mean, he rushed for 630 yards last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, even last year, week two. It was either week two or week three. I think it was week two. They went into Minnesota. And the Vikings only scored, I think, seven or 10 points. And the Bills crushed him. And he ran over a very good Vikings defense, second game in the NFL.
Right. And last year,
and he
had two straight games over 100-yard rushing.
Yeah.
And then another game of 99 yards, another game of 95 yards.
Okay.
Now, I know that we all know that quarterback rating is a very inexact science and is not a legitimate number that you really, really, but it's a good basis
for
to jump off of.
Although less than it was a couple of years ago because everybody's over 90 at this point.
Right.
But go ahead.
So last year, Josh Allen was a 68. This year, he's an 88. That's a 20-point jump.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill last year was a, let's see, where is he? Ryan Tannehill last year was a 92. He is now a 114.
Okay. 92. So, 92 with nothing. So, not a defense to give him short fields.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. So, again, the point is, at least from my opinion, or in my opinion, Ryan Tannehill, I have always been a Ryan Tannehill fan. I've always been a believer in Ryan Tannehill. I would be completely disingenuous if I got on the air right now and said, just by virtue of their 9-3 record, and I could very easily say, and maybe some people might forget, oh, I was always a huge Josh Allen fan. I wasn't. I mean, I remember I stayed up. First of all, his first game last year, in college, 2 years ago, pardon me, was they played on the Big Ten Network against Iowa. And I remember that was a Saturday, and I remember I had something with the family. And Kinsley was only like 17 months. It was craziness at the house. And I'm like, Jen, I have to watch this guy play. I got to at least watch the first half. I got to see if this guy's legit. And it looked very good. Also didn't have a lot of receivers getting separation. I get that. Then he played against Oregon last year or 2 years ago on CBS Sports Network. And again, looked horrendous. There is nobody, if they're being honest with themselves, and I'd have to think that includes Bills fans who aren't a little surprised, if not more, at the quick leap by Josh Allen this year. So to me, he is by far and away, the most improved player. And it's just time to recognize that. Now, again, the Ravens, does he throw two picks? Does he throw one on the turf? That's why I think it's the most revealing game of the week, as I said to start the segment, Mike.
And it's interesting also. I mean, obviously, he was great last year, this guy I'm about to say.
Mm.
But it's hard also not to say that Lamar Jackson might be one of the most improved, if not the most improved. He went from 58 to 66%.
Yep.
1,200 yards now to 2,500 yards. 6 touchdowns, 3 picks last year to 25-5.
Mm-hmm.
84 rating to 110. 4.7 yards a carry to 7 yards a carry. I mean, Lamar Jackson, as great as he is,
yep,
and as good as he was last year,
yep,
I mean, he's taken a leap in leaps and bounds, a jump leaps and bounds from where he was last year.
There's no denying that. And, you know, if I wanted to really illuminate your point and agree with you, then I would just say, think about the last time we saw him last year against the Chargers in the playoff game. That was quite literally the worst playoff performance ever. There were legitimate questions about his viability after that game. But, you know, this is where the different feelings that we have for different players and different situations, there's real vast fluctuations in the NFL, unlike any other sport. Because there was a, when he took over for Joe Flacco, we were on bended knee. This guy's, I mean, they're running for 300 yards a game. They changed the entire tone of their season. So, you know, improvement based on, and sure, even if you pull away the Chargers game, he's passing the ball with incredible proficiency, which he didn't do a year ago. That, and he's the MVP. But there was so much positive talk about him last year before the Chargers game that the Charger game felt like an outlier a little bit. So, listen, I think Josh Allen, and I'm still not fully sold. I'm not fully sold. But, boy, the game's slowing down for him. And the one thing that we talked about with Josh Allen before that draft, and, you know, I love Darnold, certainly different than Baker because Baker's small, and different than Lamar because Lamar is just a completely different, uniquely different quarterback. The thing about Josh Allen, we all said, he can throw it out of the stadium. He can throw it through a brick wall. He can run through you, and he can run past you. And now we're starting to see, you know, and again, I wasn't sure that they had their guy. Bills had their guy. Again, most revealing game this week, the Bills, Ravens. I want to see what Josh Allen has because I know that place is going to be on fire. All right, Mike, I know we were scheduled to have Matt Judon, the Ravens defensive player. Do we have his agent just called you and what? He's at the eye store?
He should be ready to go, but there's a chance he might not be available, so we'll find out in a couple minutes.
Yeah, we'll adjust. It's all good. By the way, I want to give you a chance to jump in on that conversation. Is Josh Allen the NFL's most improved player? He had a lot of dissent. There's a lot of detractors a year ago. If you're not giving it up now, you're just not watching him play. 855-212-4227. Get to college football, obviously, as well. Game tonight. A couple of big games tomorrow. Clearly big games. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save a little money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on a Football Friday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Teak is out. Teak is traveling. Going to be in the old CBS booth coming up with the Bengals and the Browns this Sunday on CBS. He's been instructed. Make sure you get the Tiki and Tierney pop. Mike, did he get you his picks yet? He did. I was going to say, if you know... Because Tiki's getting a little hot here. He's getting a little hot. And we were a little worried that he may have been wrapped up in the, the activities with, you know, being a big shot now. Calling a game for CBS. He forgot to get his picks in. When did he get him in? How long ago? About 10 minutes. He's got him in. All right, Tiki, that a boy. All right, Tiki's back Monday, obviously. Watch for him in the, you'll hear him on the Red Zone this weekend. So, or CBS, if you get that game. So Matt Judon is probably not going to happen. Maybe. I mean, his agent called and I know something, something happened with his phone. He's at the Apple store or whatever. I wanted to chat with him because he's a really interesting story. Late round pick, small school, hell of a player. Obviously, big game with the Bills, but it is all good. We'll get back to the phone, see what's going on. We'll do a little college football next segment. Mike Anderson from St. John's, their first year coach. Next hour, six pack of picks. And, of course, Tiki and Tierney, Week 14 NFL whip around. Let's get Joe, who is in North Carolina. Joe is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Joe?
BT, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing today, Joe? What's happening?
Good. So I'm a diehard New York sports fan. I wanted to just chime in on two things that you were talking about. Josh Allen, his arm is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Bills have a good fundamental organization. So for him to prosper is not surprising. But
it's funny. I was going to say, Joe, it's funny. Before you transition to, you might want to get something on the Knicks, whatever it is. But before you move on, it's funny. Josh Allen's the kind of player, and he's not there yet. You still have to add a little polish to that diamond. You know, you still have to, you know, buffer him up a little bit here. But if he was drafted by maybe the Bills of, you know, 6-7 years ago, and it was a different culture or a franchise that's floundering right now that just doesn't seem to have a clue. He would not be where he is, and quite frankly, maybe he would never get to that point. Because once you reach a certain point, if you're a first-round pick in the NFL and you're a quarterback, for sure, and, you know, you bomb the first year, all right, little understandable. Second year, no tangible growth. Oh, boy, we're getting a little worried. That third year, if you don't pop, it's curtains. And He got drafted by a team that we don't lump into as a good organization, but the Bills have become that. He was drafted by a good organization. That's a good point by you.
So, yeah, and if he was drafted by the Jets, he probably wouldn't have the success he's had. He's been having.
Yeah.
As a Jets fan, I've been a Jets fan my whole life. People actually commend me for admitting that I'm still a Jets fan.
Where are we going to hide, Joe?
You got till 5 years old to change teams, and that's it. But anyway, unless Woody Johnson sells the team, nothing's going to happen.
He's clueless, too. Yeah, I hear you.
He's a businessman first, football second.
It's true.
But your point about Mark Jackson, I caught, about being a dude, I would love that. But he would need to have some say as a GM. They got to get a big dog in there. I'm still stung from them losing the championship in 94 to the Rockets.
No, Joe, I'll never get over that. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Keep it up in North Carolina. Of course, 94 is brutal. Listen, I'd give Mark the keys. I know that that's not going to change everything because it's about, you know, what's embedded in the DNA of the franchise. And, you know, I really feel bad saying this because I really do like the guy. I mean, Steve Mills is a really nice guy, but good God, is he bad at his job. Man, he's bad. He's bad. He is bad. He's been bad for a long time. Now, he hasn't been bad in this role for a long time. We'll give him credit there. But he's been bad in multiple roles for a long time. Yeah, he's got, I mean, Dolan keeps him around. I mean, we can yell all night and all day. If Dolan keeps him, what are we going to do? Anthony's in Binghamton, and Anthony's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Ant? How you doing today?
How you doing, Kenny?
What's up?
I just wanted to call in. I talked to you guys way before the football season. I'm the one that was from Syracuse that was a avid Browns fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say it. First of all, everybody overlooked Lamar Jackson. Everybody, you know, the black quarterback that can run, he can't pass that good. It's not going to last. Well, everybody missed it. He's the best. I got to say, I was on the Baker Mayfield train like everybody else, especially that was a Browns fan. But Josh Allen, he looks like, to me, other than Lamar Jackson, he's definitely the second best quarterback that came out of that draft.
I'm not giving up on Darnold. And I'm not giving up on Baker Mayfield either, Anthony, to be honest with you. I think that, first of all, Freddie Kitchen needs to be gone, and he will be as soon as Week 17 expires, and they expire. Freddie Kitchen's obviously not coaching the Browns next year. I still believe Baker Mayfield's good. His mechanics got a little bit out of whack. You know, the thing that he does best is to, you know, get that back foot in the ground fast, three steps, and then boom, get it out there. And you know, those intermediate routes, bang, 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 throw it around. And even get out of the pocket and make some thing, you know, off script, back foot, against the grain. What he doesn't do well, and this is what happened a lot this year, because he's a small guy, is to, you know, take a longer drop, you know, stand in the pocket, pat the football, survey the field. That's not his game. That's Dan Marino. That's not Baker Mayfield. You know, in hindsight, and this is going to be a little tough with this quarterback crop coming out this year as well. You have to navigate Tua's injury, and if he elects to come out, and both Tiki and I believe that he will, because if he goes back to Alabama, God forbid, gets hurt again, he might not make a penny playing football, at least if he comes out now, if his rehab is somewhat smooth. He's not going first overall. I mean, I wouldn't take him first, but, you know, a good team that has some draft equity, can move up, you know, in that 7, 8, 9, 10 range. Somebody might take a flyer there. I would do that. But he's a little tough to gauge because of the medical history. You know, Joe Burrow just burst on the scene, and we've seen, you know, Mitch Trubisky burst on the scene for a minute at North Carolina. I know he's playing better now, but Mitch Trubisky's been all over the map as well. I did some research on this, and I remember saying this on Tops about 2 months ago. It's generally believed 1,500 snaps in college is a good barometer. It's a good barometer. You know, generally, it's changed a little bit in baseball, but usually you wanted to have 1,500 minor league at-bats through the various levels, encompassing whatever. You know, if you started A and maybe you jump to double, or you go to rookie and then you jump to double, whatever it might be. And now it's different because players are getting up early and they're buying out arbitration, blah, blah, blah. But generally, back in the day, 1,500 at-bats, you can get a sense of what kind of hitter this person, this young hitter is. Is he a contact hitter? Does he have blossoming power? Can he hit to all fields? All that stuff. Does he adjust to pitch patterns? 1,500 is also the number in college football. So as I say this, there's a lot to really look at. I mean, do you love Herbert from Oregon? I mean, I don't love him. I like him. I don't even. I like Burrow more. And the crop from, you know, the whole Baker Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and poor Josh Rosen. We always forget about him. But that crop, it's a very eclectic mix with very different skill sets. I think they're all going to be good. I'm going to put Rosen to the side because unless he gets in a situation that insulates him and believes in him, he'll have no chance, unfortunately, because I think he could have maybe been good. But, you know, I wanted to give our last caller a chance to talk and not toot my own horn. I was actually supporting Lamar Jackson. Go check my Twitter account. When Polian. Polian said that he was small. He said he's not even 6 feet, whatever he said. And I met Lamar Jackson a couple of times, once with Tiki, but also once on Tops. And I have a few pictures with Lamar Jackson. And as soon as Polian said that, I tweeted the picture. It's on my Twitter account. Go find it. And I said, no, I'm 6'2". This man is definitely 6'2", you know? And actually, I'm probably a tick below 6'2 now because my, you know, with the back issue, the... That's why people shrink as you get older. That's why people get smaller as they get older because of back issues. Because the elasticity that separates the vertebrae, the gel, if you will, as you have back issues, that slowly shrinks and subsides a little bit. And when that pops out, that's why you have a herniated disc, which is what I had, and that's what I know. So at one point, I was almost 6'3", and now I'm probably almost 6'2". But the point is, I'm just about 6'2", and so was he. And I was supporting him, saying, no, you need to watch this guy play quarterback, this young man. Because if you think that he's doing all, you know, read options and all gimmick stuff, you're not watching Bobby Petrino's offense at Louisville. He's flinging it down the football field. He is throwing it down the football field with precision. So I did support Lamar Jackson, and I did think he would be good. Of course, I didn't think he'd be this good. Nobody thought that, except maybe Lamar Jackson. And Dabo, and Petrino. All right, 1-855-212-4227. You know what I got to get to? I got to get to college now. I have to get some college coming up. Next hour, 5 Eastern, top of the hour, so about 25 minutes from now, Mike Anderson from St. John's. And then after that, 6-pack of picks, Tiki and Tierney's NFL whip around, all the pertinent storylines, all the big games. We'll get it all for you. But up next, college. We'll do that. Greg Caserta's update. Greg, what's going on, buddy? You good? Look at Greg, the company guy. We're in the intercom. Look at him. He's showing off. You are the company kid, aren't you?
I got to get in and out, and I don't want to get locked out.
They don't know you yet.
No, not yet.
Who's this guy coming in to do updates today? So you got to flash it, and you still got
to... And it's funny, because I took a picture of me on the TV, sent it to a couple of people, because I've done this a couple times now with you.
Yeah.
My one buddy said that my shirt looked like it was from Kingpin.
I was just going to say, it looks like you're going bowling before you said Kingpin. It does.
So now I'm questioning the decision to wear it.
That's fine, dude. I mean, look what I'm wearing. I'm wearing something from the Run DMC War in the 80s. It's all good.
Who was it? Who was it that had the hard shoe white top Adidas's?
Run DMC?
No, there was the other one. There was another one I'm thinking of.
It was the first one. I mean, LL may have had them. You mean back then?
Yeah.
Run DMC. The fat laces and the Adidas shell. Yeah. Absolutely, Run DMC. So let's get Greg at his wacky looking shirt and his company man logo with the intercom. They will get the update from Greg. We'll come back and do some college football next. Here's Greg. Sunday, it's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First up, the Ravens MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes the show on the road to Buffalo. Spent a lot of time on Josh Allen and the Bills before. Should be a great matchup, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC title game when the Pats welcomed the Chiefs. Kansas City's defense started to turn you over a little bit. All starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is out. He is back on Monday, so we'll be together. And he is doing the Browns and the Bengals game this weekend on CBS. Good for Tiki. He's had a really good week with that Mets story. And he's good doing the games. I caught him. The LSU. It was because we were going back and forth on our text chain about this. The LSU-Alabama game he did for Compass Media. And I was driving back from St. John's. We'll have Mike Anderson, by the way, top of the hour, 15 minutes from now, head coach of St. John's. And I was coming back from the St. John's. It was an early non-conference game, whatever. And I caught Tiki, and he was really good. You know, he's comfortable in those booths. And, you know, he's good with Rondé. It's a different dynamic. I think he's very good with Rondé. He's done a couple games on Fox with Rondé. But I like hearing Tiki by himself, a little more room to spread his wings. Just, I think a two-man booth is easier. Anyway. And he sounds good. So I'm looking forward to hearing him on the red zone. You would imagine the Browns would get in the red zone quite a bit and beat up the Bengals a little bit. And even though the Bengals are coming off a win and Andy Dalton played very well, what do you know, against my Jets. But that's what Teague is doing this weekend. So Teague and I are both back together on Monday, and we'll cut up all the occurrences from the weekend in college football. And we started tonight. Now, listen, I really like Oregon. And, you know, we had their coach on. When did we have him on? A month ago? 3 weeks ago? Right around. And big fans, great guy, very good coach, good culture for sure. Background with Miami back in the day, couple of the national championships, just a tough guy, a culture guy, offensive lineman. He's got that foxhole mentality. He's good. I just hope he stays there for a while. Somebody might poach him, Coach Cristobal. But I say that because as much as I was on the Oregon Express for a little bit in terms of, and this goes back even before we had Coach on the show, hey, don't forget about these guys. Keep them in the mix. If this happens and that happens, Oregon, yeah, I know the Pac-12's down, blah, blah, blah. But I was really pumping the Ducks up. And then, of course, they lost a game they shouldn't have lost, and that changed their equation. And listen, I have no problem admitting, and I've said this a few times, I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, because we're all wrong. I was wrong on Utah. I was wrong. I ignored them a little bit. I glossed over their achievements, and I fell prey to what I really hope the committee does not fall prey to, and that is brand recognition, and that is eyeballs, and that is monetization of the Final Four, and that is, hopefully that's not the driving force in that decision. If Utah loses tonight, then we don't talk about Utah again the rest of the season. And I really like Oregon, and I like Coach Cristobal, but I really want Utah to win this game, because I maintain, let's just go through this game by game, all right? Utah beats Oregon. Even if it's a one-score game, I don't think they need to run them out of the stadium. And I'm not even so sure that they will. But I believe that as long as they're only a touchdown favorites. I mean, this thing could be tight for sure. As long as Utah wins, Utah's golden, in my opinion, all right? So let's push Utah through with a win. All right, let's then go to the Baylor-Oklahoma game. This is going to be such a fun weekend. Great NFL games, great college stuff, some good college hoops as well. Tiger's even playing this weekend. What, Mike, let me know what Tiger shot today. He was like 6-under, I think, or he was in sixth place at one point. I'm curious, but he's out in the Bahamas right now. Baylor-Oklahoma, noon Eastern. Boom. You wake up, maybe go get your Christmas tree. Maybe you already have it. Maybe tomorrow's the day you decorate it. Maybe tomorrow's the day you put lights outside, whatever it is. They are playing at noon Eastern on ABC. Obviously in AT&T in Arlington, Texas. And, you know, if Baylor wins, and Tiki was making this case, I don't see it. I don't. But if Baylor ever won convincingly, which I don't think they're going, number one, I don't think they're going to win. I think Oklahoma's going to win going away. And I love Coach Rhule, who we also had on the show. That guy's going to be coaching the New York Giants next year. Matt Rhule, future Giants coach. But if Baylor wins, let's say Baylor wins, they could score against the already, you know, they jumped out on them in the first half. They scored easy at Baylor. Neutral site. Let's say Baylor scores 35. Let's say the score is 35-27 Baylor. All right. So I'm going to actually jot this down as we go through this. Then I want you guys to weigh in. Diesel, you're a huge college football fan. All right. So we've got Utah winning. Score is somewhat immaterial to the final case here. Utah wins. Pac-12. Boom. Baylor wins, we'll go 35-27, boom. Sooners out of the equation. Baylor still floating. All right, now we go down here. All right, Cincy, Memphis, good for the AAC, but it doesn't really matter. Let's get to Georgia, LSU, obviously CBS 4 Eastern. This is in Georgia, Mercedes-Benz Dome, and LSU modest a touchdown. Listen, I just don't see LSU slowing down. Now, you can make the case, and I've heard this from a few, I think Feinbaum may have said this, maybe a little indifference creeps in, because while I believe that Feinbaum and others have also said this, even if LSU loses, LSU still golden is the number two team. So if LSU loses, and I believe, as others do, the only way they could lose is that they're not fully engaged, is that they're not fully ready because they already assume that they're there. But that's not happening for a program that hasn't been there. This team is hungry. This team is tough. I think they're going to win going away from Georgia. Put me down. That's my prediction. You got to make a prediction. I think LSU wins going away. So let's just say, though, LSU loses. Let's just say LSU loses because some people think that they could. So we'll put Georgia in there. Georgia wins, and the score is somewhat immaterial because LSU, even if they lose, they're still good, even if they get crushed, which they won't. All right, move down the slate. All right, Virginia, Clemson, with all due respect to Tiki's Hoos, I mean, you're 28.5-point dogs. Wow. Clemson's going to win that game. We'll push Clemson through. And then the Buckeyes in Wisconsin. And, you know, if this was 6 weeks ago, I thought maybe Wisconsin could make that move. But they disappointed, even though they're good. Wisconsin's not beating the Buckeyes, so Ohio State's going to win. What about that entire equation? If Georgia beats LSU, Utah's not going because you have to put Georgia in. You have to. And I admit that. That's fine. If LSU wins, like I think that they will, now it's the Buckeyes, it's LSU. Actually, Clemson could jump up to number two depending upon the aesthetics of both of those games, ACC versus the SEC. If LSU wins a close one and Clemson crushes Virginia, you can make the case that Clemson goes to 2 and LSU goes to 3 for sure. And then at that point, Utah's got to go. Utah's got to go. If Baylor beats Oklahoma, as I jotted down. Now, can you make the case, D-Cell? Because Tiki was singing this a few days ago. Utah wins tonight. Baylor beats Oklahoma. Yeah, Clemson wins. Buckeyes win. All that stuff. Can you make a case, a legitimate case for Baylor to go? I don't think you can. Can you?
I don't think you can for Baylor. I don't even think the committee really has much of a discussion. We haven't seen a two-loss team. I think the committee could make a case if LSU beats Georgia in a tight game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Utah ultimately goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the committee has a discussion, though, about Georgia, even with a tight loss. Being a two-loss
really?
Team, being a two-loss team that we've never seen before.
Really?
I think Utah would ultimately get it.
So do I.
I think there's a discussion, though.
I don't think it would be a very long one. That's an interesting thought to throw in there.
But so, to answer your question, Baylor, I don't see it.
Yeah, and
I know Teak tried to make this case earlier in the week.
Yeah, and it was a fun discussion.
It was.
It was definitely it was different. It was unique. It was cool.
I think the Georgia case, even with two losses, would be within that room for the committee would be more of a discussion.
Yes. Yes. You know, the one thing that I don't get wrapped up in, and I know a lot of, maybe because I'm just more immersed in the world of college. I mean, I do this for a living, obviously, but I get it. Not everybody went to a big school. Not everybody, you know, cares about Utah. I get it. You know, smaller profile for sure. Most people, they just want to see the heavyweights. They want to see the top brands. They want to, even though obviously Bama, you're not going to see them this year. But you want to see the Bamas, you want to see the Clemsons, you want to see, while Notre Dame's playing well early, a lot of people, hey, maybe Notre Dame could get in there, and we've seen that before, and they got waxed by Bama years ago. Manti Te'o's team. Yeah, brands are cool. I want to see a good team. And I think Utah, I've almost done more homework on them because I ignored them and because I slighted them. I felt like I owed them a little something, you know, I had to make amends with the Utes. Now you can't leave. And I believe that Utah's defense, as I've said all week to Tiki, is the best defense in the country. They've got 5, maybe even 6 kids who are absolutely playing in the NFL. And that's a team that I want to see play against Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence. You know, that's fun theater because that's where you get the real indication. Don't get me wrong. Like if Oklahoma somehow squeezed in or Baylor, I mean, they would get... I'm not saying they wouldn't score points, but they would get sliced up. They would give up maybe 50 in the wrong matchup. Not happening to Utah. That's not happening to you. So you'd get a better read on the quarterback prospects that will be going to the NFL, and I think you'd get a better game as well. I really do. All right. You want to give me a tweet? At Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. Busy day. Fizdale fired. College football front and center. NFL Week 14. Jerry's rant this morning on the radio. Mike Anderson, St. John's coach. We'll chat with him next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.